Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 350, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. And with joy I heard my friends exclaim, "Come, let us in God's temple meet. Within thy gates, O Zion blessed, shall ever stand our willing feet." 1, 2, and 5 of Psalter 350. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter, the first 20 verses, Luke 2, verses 1 through 20. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and a babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things and that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all faithful, all-sufficient Lord of heaven and of earth, and thou who hadst to Abraham sworn an oath, and thou who in thy own time didst fulfill that oath, so that thy servant may sing of it, then we may also commemorate it in this day, set aside by us, that we may remember that great work which thou hast done, And that which is most necessary for us, each and every one, to know for ourselves. Lord, then we may acknowledge Thee, that Thou hast revealed it unto men, but that Thou hast also revealed it unto us and our children, that we may be brought up under Thy truth. And that the revelation of Thy Word may be given unto us, as it is withheld in the way of Thy providence from so many in this world. Lord, do look upon the world in which that we are dwelling, that is in this day in a secular manner rejoicing also, but rejoicing in that which is so vain and carnal and empty, that which is passing away, and that which will leave the heart disappointed. Lord, could it please Thee to send Thy Word unto the length and the breadth, to the ends of this world, that men may come to bow before Thee, that a little child in that a manger in Bethlehem, and that the whole world may come to worship Thee to the salvation of their souls and to the glory of Thy name. Build up Thy kingdom, for they shall come from the east and from the west. And they shall magnify Thee forever and forever. But Lord, look on us and our children also, for we have Thy Word. And we may hear it Sabbath after Sabbath and year after year. And then it may be proclaimed unto us at the coming of Thy dear Son into this world, that He might seek and save that which is lost. But we have by nature no room for Him, because we do not see and feel and mourn our lost condition. And then we do not need a Savior. But oh, may it be different in this morning hour. Could it please Thee to prepare a place in our hearts for Him, who is to be declared in this morning as the way, the truth, and the life. That there may be room for Him to be received in the stable of our hearts, that we may be given open eyes to see how wretched and how miserable that we are, and that we may be given to recognize Him whom Thou hast sent into this world, not for the righteous, but for sinners, for the ungodly, to give gifts unto the rebellious also. Lord, look on us then. We need the work of Thy Holy Spirit, because we will never confess our own wretchedness. We have lifted ourselves up in Adam, our covenant head, and we continue in His footsteps until Thy Spirit does break it all down and take it all away, and until we may confess our guilt before Thee and our wretchedness and our pollution. That Thou may show it to us, Lord, this day, that Thou may give place for Thy dear Son. And may Thou reveal Him also in the hearts of those who are destitute and who do not know the way. For there are those for whom it is a way that is so hidden and closed up. Lord, could it please Thee in this day to open it and to reveal it, even as Thou didst open the heavens, that Thou may bring that blessed message unto those shepherds on the fields of Ephratah. Then Thou didst come in such a surprising way. Then Thou didst reveal Thyself unto them.
Oh, then it was their desire that they may go to see thee. Oh, Lord, look upon us then, and wilt thou give love not only for thee, but wilt thou give love for thy only begotten Son. Oh, show him in the midst of thy afflicted and poor people, that they might love him, desire him, and that they may see in him all beauty and desirability. Oh, that they may see the blessed suitability of such a Savior for their own poor soul. And then thy name will be glorified already by beginning in this morning. Lord, take care of us as a congregation. Oh, that all the natural things may not draw our hearts, but that these treasures, which are lasting to all eternity, and that they may be a treasure of our hearts also, and that our hearts may be set on the things above and not on the things upon the earth. Look upon all those that are not able to gather with us in this morning hour. Thou knowest the afflicted and the sick ones. Wilt thou give health and strength again? And those that have become old and ailing, Lord, supply in all the continuing and increasing needs in this life. And oh, that thou may give when the fears do increase, that thou may speak also as we have heard, fear not, in their own souls. Look upon all those that have afflictions of mind, of body. Lord, supply. Remember the young girl that may be with us in this day out of the hospital. Lord, care for her. And wilt thou bless the means used for her strength. And wilt thou look upon also her that has had an accident in the week that is gone by. Thou hast spared her life, Lord, that thou may gladden her with thy deeds, and wilt thou use and bless these ways to their young hearts together. And oh, teach thou us to number our days while it is still a day of grace. Do go with us in this morning and in this day and in these days together. O Lord, we ask of thee to help thy servants over the length and the breadth of this world to proclaim thy name to wretched and undone and poor sinners, and that we also may be given that privilege in this morning hour so to proclaim thee unto those who are lost, that it may be good to be together. And that there may be profit in the midst of us. Oh, take reasons out of thyself. And there are no reasons to be found in us to bless us undeservedly out of heaven. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 397, stanzas 1 through 5. O Lord, thou art my God and King, and I will ever bless thy name. I will extol thee every day and evermore, and thy praise proclaim. We announce that there is today only one collection, which is for our school, 397 stanzas 1 through 5.
Congregation, today our world does celebrate Christmas. That is the greatest miracle that has ever taken place in this world, wherein two natures, both the divine and the human nature, have been united into one blessed person. An incomprehensible wonder for you and I, because of our limited understanding, but also a very wonderful story, wherein the hand of the Lord is evident from the beginning unto the end. But then we may ask ourselves what that this all means for ourselves. Does it remain for us and for our children a wonderful story? Or has it ever become more than this? And are there those in this morning that are beseeching the Lord that also this child may be born in our own heart, and that mediator, that the Son of God, also may be revealed, not only in the midst of this world, but may be revealed to us personally? May the Lord so remember us in these days together to grant His blessing upon His holy word. We wish, with the help of the Lord, to consider Luke 2, verses 10 through 12. Luke 2, verses 10 through 12. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." So far the words of our text. The birth of Christ revealed to the shepherds. First, the joy revealed. Second, the person revealed. And third, the sign revealed. The birth of Christ revealed unto the shepherds. First, the joy revealed. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Second, the person revealed, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And third, the sign revealed, "And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Fear not. Who, congregation, says those words? Fear not. That is an angel. That is a holy angel. Thus, it is not an earthly being, but it is a heavenly being. Thus, it is not a message that comes from man, but it is a divine message. It is a message that comes from heaven. It is a message that comes from the Lord Himself. Fear not. And to whom does that message come? It comes to men. It comes to men who are upon the earth. It comes to fallen men. Is that not a wonder? That the Lord, the Holy God, that He still will speak unto fallen men? To whom does it come? It comes unto fearful men. What do we read? We read, and they were sore afraid. How is it with us? Are we sometimes afraid? And why? What is it that makes us afraid? Maybe sometimes we are afraid of sickness. We are afraid of pain. We are afraid of suffering. Or perhaps we are afraid of suffering shame, suffering dishonor. Why were the shepherds afraid? They were afraid because of the glory of the Lord. What do we read? And they were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. What do you think, children? Do you think that you also would have been afraid? Do you understand these shepherds? There is much mocking today in our world. There is much mocking with sickness. There is much mocking with the disasters even that can come in the world. There is sometimes mocking with the thunder and the lightning. There is mocking with God. But that mocking ceases when the reality of all these are placed before man. Pharaoh also mocked. But when the plagues came, then he stopped his mocking. No, then he felt something of the hand of the Lord. And then man does not mock. He dare not mock. The mocking world will one day cease her mocking. Why? Because the mocking world will also one day come before the presence of a holy and a righteous God. Then he will not mock, no, then he will fear. Then he will so fear that he would rather that the mountains would fall on him than that he would have to stand before God. There was a time that man was not afraid to stand before God. When was that, children? When the Lord may come to man, and when man may not fear, that was the time that there was no sin, that there was no guilt in the soul of man. That was in the garden. That was before the fall. But now it has become so different. And now we can read that time and again in the holy word of God. When the Lord is coming, not only himself, but when he is even sending his messenger, when he is sending a messenger that is with him day by day in his holy presence. And he is sending that messenger to speak to a man upon the earth. Then we can see that man immediately fears. Think of Zacharias and how afraid that man was. Think about Manoah. Then he said to his wife, "We surely are going to die because we have seen God." Thus, when the Lord is appearing only with the smallest revelation of his glory, then what is coming into the foreground for man, then all our sins, they are coming into the foreground, then man immediately, he feels that he is not able to stand before God. With you and I, it is going to be the same. Oh, we have warnings in the Holy Word of God. With you and I, it is not going to be different. We are not going to escape. And how suddenly, oh, how suddenly that the Lord is appearing. We heard it, young people. Oh, a friend in our midst, a young friend, an accident, and she may be spared. But it did not have to be so. And in many cases, it is not so. And then how is it? Then how is it? Because then we also would have to stand before that holy and that righteous God. And then it would be no different for us as it was for the shepherds. And then that holy angel is standing before them. And then we read that they are sore afraid. You say, were they not the people of the Lord? Do God's people also fear? Do they have reason to fear? What do you think, young people? Often there is a great difference between how it is from the side of God and how it is from the side of God's people. Oh, election, that is from eternity. Then they are loved already from eternity with an everlasting love. And yet, when they are born into this world, they are born under the wrath of God. And they are exposed to that wrath. Oh, they are exposed to punishment, even though that they are loved by Him. When does that cease? When is it that they are not anymore exposed to that wrath? That is in regeneration. Or when the Spirit of the Lord cuts them off from that old Adam and is engrafting that people into the Lord Jesus Christ, then from the side of God, there is no more wrath. No, then the Lord is looking at His people in and through His only begotten Son. And then everything that is in that Son, that is flowing forth all the benefits into His people. Then they are engrafted into that vine. And then they are no longer exposed from the side of the Lord to punishment and to wrath. But that is now from the Lord's side. How is it now from the side of the people? Are they then without fear? Or it is just the opposite. Because that is the very moment. That is the very moment that the people's eyes are open, that they begin to see their wretched state and condition, that I am without God in this world, and that I also have to appear before Him, that I have to come into judgment. And then, oh, it is even as if that I am already there, that I am standing there, and how shall it be for me when I shall not be able to stand before that holy and that righteous God? All regeneration, that is the greatest blessing we can receive in our life. But it is not the most comfortable blessing. No, it is in that moment that all a man's rest is taken away. But that is also a blessing. Why? Because he is still in the time. And then it is not the time in that moment that the Lord is going to judge him both for time and for eternity. And there is still an opportunity that he may be delivered from all of his misery. Thus, how is it from the side of these shepherds? Oh, that angel that appears to them. And what do we read? They are sore afraid. And why? Are they not God's children? Oh, sure. But, congregation, they cannot die without a mediator. They cannot meet God without a surety for their soul. Is that also your case? Oh, they are condemnable because of their own guilt. They cannot answer in this moment one of 1,000 questions. No, they are still lying in their guilt. They are still lying from their own side in their pollution. There is a people. Oh, they cannot deny. They cannot deny something has happened in their life. No, they cannot say what that means. They cannot put a name to it, but that something has happened in their life, that there has been a great change. Or maybe there are those who cannot deny when those marks are laid out of the fear of the Lord, that such a fear that has lived in their heart and life even from the days of their youth. Maybe you say, young people, that is now the most blessed people in this world. Do you say that? That is the most blessed people in this world. Oh, could I also be among that people? And you are right. And there are times that that people may receive the most blessed consolations from the side of the Lord. That the Lord may uphold them, that the Lord may go with them in their life. And yet, oh yet, when they consider dying, when they consider the judgment, then they cannot think about all of these things without fear, because they have no Savior for their soul. How is it with you? And they were sore afraid. Fear not. Oh, the Lord, he makes place, he makes room for himself. The Lord, He makes room for His consolations. Did the Lord ever make room for this consolation in your heart? To whom does He say these words? Fear not. He says those words to men who are sore afraid. Oh, that is a people, is it not, children? That is a people. There is room for those two words in their life. Fear not. Those are persons for whom it is a great wonder that they receive this message. Fear not. And that is a people for whom that message also has so much power. Because that is not spoken by men. No, but this is spoken by the angel of the Lord. It is a message from God Himself. How many times do not men say these words? They say, fear not. They say, do not be afraid. How is that for God's people? All those words, they are sufficient for many in our world. They are sufficient for many who have a religion. That man would say, fear not. But that is not sufficient for those who truly fear. That is not sufficient for a man who knows that he has to appear before the judgment seat of God. Then what does it profit me that every man in this world would say unto me, fear not? But now when the Lord may say it, when that people may receive a message from heaven, fear not, oh, then there is power in those words. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. What a wonder that there is any joy in this world after the fall, in which we have brought so much misery. There is, of course, much superficial joy. Also in this day, joy that is going to be turned again into what? Into sorrow. But there is also in the world a mourning that is going to be turned into dancing. Oh, good tidings of great joy. Tidings, congregation, from heaven. An unfathomable wonder. So it is also experienced. May you ever experience it so. Oh, there is no joy that is so great as the joy of the true church of God. Oh, their joy in its perfection that is reserved for eternity. But it begins on the earth. It begins on the earth. It begins in the tidings. The tidings that come from heaven. And so that brings a joy that they may experience already here below. No, it is not all misery. No, it is not all misery for the people of the Lord. Far from it. It is the opposite. Do you believe that? Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. What does that mean? Those tidings, are they then for everyone in this world? May everyone now in this world rejoice in these tidings? So it is happening. So it is happening today. That our world is rejoicing. They have beautiful lights and they have beautiful presents, maybe children. and they have nice gatherings of their families, and they can sing all kinds of songs that make you feel good in your flesh. They say it is the season that we have to be jolly. And even the atheists, or a so-called atheist, he is rejoicing today. Is that right? Or there are some that also come closer. They rejoice, they say, in Christ. They say, Jesus loves you. He loves everyone. And therefore, you ought to rejoice. And then they are singing today, Joy to the World. How is that? You say that must be right. Because that is also what we read here in the Word of God. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. But it is not right. No, it is not right, because the Lord Jesus himself says that when he comes, that there are many, many people that will have been rejoicing in him, whose rejoicing will all come unto an end, a quick end, when he will say to them, though you have rejoiced in me for many, many years, I have never known you. Then they shall fear. Then they shall fear when they come in the judgment. And do you know what will never be said to them? Fear not. Why not? Because their fear that is not the same fear. Their fear that is not a right fear. Their fear that is not a godly fear. Their fear that is a slavish fear. Thus, the Dutch Staten Bible. About these words, which shall be to all people, they give an explanation. And they say that is to all of God's people. And that is right. They are those to whom these glad tidings come. But that will be a remnant that is from all the nations of the world. And then especially at the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus, then it will not be just the Jewish nation, no, but it is going to be an ecclesiastical church that is coming from the east and from the west in this world. Thus we hear good tidings of great joy to all people. And what are those tidings? That is our second thought, the person that is revealed. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. For unto you. They are the words that the angel has spoken to the shepherds, and that he has spoken to those shepherds as unto his church in all ages of the world. For unto you. Congregation, did the Lord ever say this to you? For unto you. If it is congregation for the whole world and not for you, what then? What then? What then of all our rejoicing? What then of all our commemorating of Christmas from the beginning to the end of our life. Is this not now the most important thing since the coming of Christ in the flesh, that these words, that they may be spoken unto you individually? Because when the Lord, He reveals Himself to His church, then He says unto them, for unto you. There was no person on all the fields of Boaz that stood so on the outside of it as Ruth. That is what she said. Though I be not as one of thine handmaidens. It was congregation for everybody else, but it was not for her. Is there such a people here? And then the word of Naomi, which we have mentioned already. He, the man, is near of kin to whom? To us. To us. One of our next kinsmen. And then what happened? Then it became so personal for Ruth. Do you understand it? Then it became in that moment possible also for Ruth. As we read in our catechism, not only to others, but also to me. That is what the Lord is speaking on the day of Christmas. That is what it means for Christmas to take place in our own heart. For the Lord to bring that message and to say unto us, to our poor soul, for unto you. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Why did the angel say that? In the city of David. That is so important. Why? Because here is the connection to the promise. He is born in the city of David. And that shows us something about the shepherds. It shows us that these shepherds, they were waiting for the fulfillment of the promise of the Lord. They were waiting for that Messiah who was to be born in that city of David. But it seemed like it would never be fulfilled. As we have heard, 400 years, no more any prophet of the Lord. It is for them so dark. All the time is so long, but the day does come. Oh, the day does come. The day of the Lord does come. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. Oh, the Lord is not a man that he should lie. He is not the son of man that he should repent. And that people, they will never wait in vain. Even though the time that is very, very long. Oh, the bowels of that greater Joseph, they cannot always be contained. They cannot always stay. No, there comes a time.
and that he must reveal himself, that he must show himself unto his brethren. For unto you is born this day, O children. Do you think that the shepherds ever forgot that day? All, I think they have never forgotten it. Not their whole life long. There is an untold joy. There is an untold gladness. It is a day of good tidings. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That is the revelation of that long-awaited person of the mediator. For a people who cannot die, for a people who do not dare to die, all that is the long-awaited revelation of the person of the Savior. For the people who are not able to save themselves, the people that despair of their self-help, a Savior which is Christ the Lord. Christ, our young people know what it means. Means what? Anointed. What does it mean to be anointed? That means two things. First, to be appointed. And second, to be qualified. He did not come of himself. What did the angel say? It is Christ. It is the anointed one. It is the one who is sent. He is sent of the Father. He is chosen by the Father that he may do this work. And this is now the work that he is anointed to do. The Father qualifies him to do it. The Father gives to him everything that is necessary that he may do this work. What work? To save from sin. Salvation, or is that not a wonder for that people? He has been given an office. And that is the very, very purpose of his office. To do exactly what that people cannot do. And what that people so need to be done. Christ the Lord. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, anointed from all eternity, from the council of peace. But there comes a day that he is also revealed to those shepherds in his anointing. That's what does the Lord do? The Lord shows them that this way is his way. This is his way that sin may be taken out of the way. To a people that have been trying in their own way and that are not able to reconcile themselves in their own way. And now the Lord, he shows them that this is my way. He shows a people that are sore afraid how it is possible that they may fear not. Because he is anointed. Because he is appointed, because he is qualified by God himself. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Oh, were there ever such tidings brought in this world? From heaven itself unto his people. Was there ever such a joy in this world
as this joy. Since the fall, unto this day, declaring how that God may be reconciled unto a sinner. Oh, is that now a joy that your heart knows? Or are you a complete stranger of that joy? Did that message, did that ever come to you personally? Did the Lord ever speak? Did the Lord ever reveal Himself? Did the Lord ever say, "For unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord"? You say, does the Lord still do that? Does the Lord still speak? Does the Lord still reveal Himself? Oh, do you wish to know that? Is that your desire? Is that your interest? Where then will we still hear that? Where the Lord speaks unto His people. Oh, let us hear from the angel. Where those shepherds have to look for Him. Let us sing first. Psalter 263. 1 and 2, unto God our Savior, sing a joyful song. Wondrous are His doings, for His arm is strong. 1 and 2 of 263. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. A sign. What is a sign? Sign, congregation, is something that you can see, which indicates the truth or the presence of something which is not immediately apparent. Sign. There are signs of being sick, children. Sometimes then you say to your mother, I think that I am becoming sick. How do you know? Because there are certain signs. There are things that you feel in your body. There are signs. And they indicate the truth or the presence of something which you otherwise cannot see or know exists. But now you know because of the signs. Gideon asked for a sign. Why did he ask for a sign? That he may know that it was the Lord. That it was the Lord who was speaking. That he may know for sure. Thus a sign that is for confirmation. And now the angels, they give a sign unto the shepherds. Why? They are to look for a child. One child. One little baby. And they have to find that little baby out of all the little babies that may be born, which are many. How shall they know which one of those little children is that baby that those angels are speaking of? Well, those angels, they say, we will give you a sign, and then you may be able to recognize him. And then you shall know that this is he. And this shall be a sign unto you. And what was the sign? Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. That was a sure sign. Why was it so sure? Because it was so uncommon. Because it was so singular. That was not the natural way. If they may find a babe that may be lying in a manger, then they may be without doubt sure that this was the child of whom they were seeking. What was now the most conspicuous character of that sign? That is humility. Oh, what a great contrast between the glory of those heavenly beings that are singing of that child and that place that that child is lying in a manger, in a stable. Thus, the Lord gives the sign that marks his son. And what is that sign? That sign is humility. He has come as the divine Son of God in the state of his humiliation. He really took upon him the human nature. That is not humiliating. That is not humiliating in and of itself. Why not? Because we were created in the image of God. And had he come in the human nature as it was before the fall, it had been no humiliation to the Son of God. Now he comes as a babe. Ye shall find the babe. You shall find him who is the mighty God, the everlasting Savior. You shall find him lying as a helpless infant, laying aside the use of his divine attributes, for the sake of the salvation of his people. But that is not all. No, the Apostle Paul says, God, sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. No, it was not sinful flesh in and of itself, which of you convinceth me of sin? But in the likeness, thus subject to all the consequences of sin, just as if he were the most despicable sinner in this world. The very poverty of his birth and of his upbringing, that was a humiliation in this world. His suffering, that was a humiliation in this world, because it belongs unto those who have sinned, but especially his death. What does Paul say? And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, being obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And for whom is death? It is, congregation, the wages of sin. The wages of sin. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Oh, this mark of humility by which that Savior may be known is exactly the stumbling block to you and me. To the natural man, also to the religious man. Pharisees despised him because he was a Nazarene. Look and see, no prophet comes from Galilee. Isaiah prophesied of him, he shall be as a root out of a dry ground. He shall have no form nor comeliness. He will be despised and rejected of men. The Jews did not recognize him. We know that God spoke to Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Unhumbled man will have nothing to do with this humble Savior. He is to the Jews a stumbling block. He is to the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. All those shepherds, they were no great people in this world. They were of the poor, they were of the lowly class. But do you know what the Lord said to them? Fear not. Why? Because he has chosen the weak and the poor and the base and the despised of this world. Nor did he send those shepherds to the palace of a king in this world, where they would have felt completely out of place. But he sent them to a stable and to a manger. There they may behold that child. Is that not a wonder? Oh, the Lord, he became the near kinsman to his people, condescending that he might deliver them. It is not because it is too high. It is, congregation, not because it is too high that we cannot reach it. It is because it is too low. And because we refuse to stoop to it. That is the reason there is no place for him. What does he say? You will not come unto me that you might have life. And that is the reason that we go on to our own destruction. But now there is a people whom the Lord humbles. There is a people whom the Lord makes as those lowly shepherds. And then he reveals himself to their soul. And then they may experience the greatest honor that a person may experience in his life. That the Lord, the God of heaven and of earth, that he stoops so low to speak, to have dealings, and to reveal himself to such a one as I am. And then where does it bring that people? What are the consequences? Humility, humility, humility. There is nothing that so humbles a man in this world as when the Lord stoops to look upon such a one as I am. Congregation, it is Christmas Day. It is the day wherein we commemorate that that Son of God, he has humbled himself in this world to take the place of the lowest of the lowest in this world. How is it for us? Or is our heart, as it was in paradise, lifted up? Is our heart still too high so that there is no place to receive him? If that is now how it continues to go, our whole life long, if so it remains in our life, it will be forever lost. But he takes up his abode in the most wretched, in the most filthy, in the most polluted heart. No sinner too great. And then there is work for him to do. There he does his work. That is the very sign that was given unto those shepherds. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. And then there is much work, isn't there, people of the Lord? Then there is much work. Much work, but he was appointed for it. And he was anointed for it. Or he is qualified for it, that he may save his people from their sins. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, much work, all thou knowest, all from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds, bruises, putrefying sores. All there is the work of justifying such a creature. There is the work of sanctifying such a creature. There is the work of reconciling such a one unto a God, our Maker. O Lord, much work. O show to us that work, and make thy dear Son precious. Wilt thou bring us safely to our homes? Bless thy word. Give us desire to be together again in this afternoon hour. And we ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 198, 2, 4, and 7. Then over mountain, side, and plain shall peace spring forth from righteousness. The poor man's cause will he maintain and save the weak, in that none oppress. 2, 4, and 7 of Psalter 198. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.